Well, I want to begin by thanking you, Breland, for your eulogy to Beth. I think you captured her very well. That was the Beth that we know and love. It's not easy to get up and speak in these circumstances, and I appreciate your courage in sharing those things with us. That was beautiful. God did truly bless you and Beth with each other, and your marriage did what God designed marriage to do, which is to picture Christ and the church. That's a wonderful thing. The first member of the Booth family I got to know was Brad when he was going through his cancer ordeal. And seeing that and his faithfulness through that, and then, of course, getting to know Breland and Beth and then family on both sides, what an amazing testimony. Everybody that I've interacted with on both sides of the family has been so faithful, so wise, so full of joy in how they have handled tremendous difficulty, struggle, trial, and that's all to God's glory. That is all God's grace at work, and that's a wonderful thing. You know that God is really at work in families when you see that, when you see them handle these kinds of trials in that kind of way. At one point in the midst of her suffering, Beth said it was her desire to teach the women of our congregation how to die well, and she most certainly did that, but she did so much more. She taught us all how to live well. She embraced God's design for suffering, recognizing God's purpose for her in her trials. She embraced God's design for her as a woman, as a wife, as a mother, as a church member, and her obedience in all of these different areas of life and all of these different ways bore great fruit. Psalm 34 says, "Those who look to the Lord are radiant." Those who look to the Lord look like the Lord. Those who look to the Lord are radiant. And that was Beth. She radiated the joy and love of Christ to all around her. Even before she entered the glory of heaven, she radiated with a kind of glory. Beth was a gift to us all. Beth's sister Bryson wrote one eloquent Caring Bridge post after another these last few months. If you didn't get to read all of those, I would tell you even now to go back and read them. So full of wisdom and insight. But in one of those posts that Bryson wrote from a few weeks ago, Bryson pointed out that even as Beth was dying, the life of Jesus was evident in her. Bryson wrote, "Even on the hardest days, I've witnessed something far more powerful emerge. Beth's spirit, radiant and unshakable, her inner joy has never shined brighter." What's her secret? Bryson asked. Many years ago, Beth said yes to Jesus. By the grace of God, she recognized her need for a Savior and entrusted her life to Him. And then about 9 years ago, when her cancer diagnosis ushered her into an unexpected and uncertain journey, she said yes again without hesitation. Yes to trusting God's plan over lingering doubts. Yes to standing firm on His promises instead of letting worry take hold. Yes to leaning into His presence, especially when things were hard. Yes to letting every day be a light that pointed to His glory. And that is exactly right. Beth did what all of us should do every day of our lives. She said yes to Jesus. Your life should be one big yes to Jesus. We should all be saying yes to Jesus every day. Beth said yes to Jesus, but she didn't do it alone. Breland was right there beside her saying yes to Jesus every day as well. It is hard to suffer, but it's also hard, sometimes equally hard, to watch one you love suffer because you share in that suffering. And so it was for Breland. But Breland led his family, he led Beth, he led his children through this trial. Breland led Beth, he led his family through this trial with wisdom, with patience, with perseverance, with love. Breland, every bit as much as Beth, has been an example of how to say yes to Jesus day after day, to keep leaning on Him and His promises and His mercy. And those of us who were blessed enough to have a front row seat to all of this, we got to see it firsthand day after day, time after time. And of course, countless others have come alongside the Booth family and have said yes to Jesus as well in walking through this trial with them all. I can tell you, as a pastor, it's really a thing of beauty to see the body of Christ spring into action and rise to the occasion. Members of our church family, Booth family members, Christians from the wider Birmingham community, the wider community of faith here in Birmingham, have served and prayed and loved and joined in this trial of Beth's suffering. And when something tragic like this happens, we often wonder, how can Romans 8:28 be true? How can God work all things together for good? How can God work this together for the good of his people? How can God bring good out of suffering like that which Beth endured? Obviously, God's ways are higher than our ways. His ways are full of mystery. We can't always answer that question. But one thing we can see is God working through his people. And I do think this is one of the ways God fulfills the promise of Romans 8:28. When someone is suffering, the body of Christ gets to really be the body of Christ. The body of Christ gets to be the body of Christ in action. Beth's suffering brought people together. Her suffering was an opportunity for Christ's body to work and function as a body, with strong and healthy members of the body serving other members of the body that were hurting. For many of us, there is no doubt that the entire trial of Beth's cancer was an opportunity to learn to trust God and to love and serve others in new ways. Friendships were formed and strengthened. Faith was matured. Lessons about patience and bearing one another's burdens were learned. I am certain that God will bring good out of this in other ways. But this is one way we can already see. We experience so much of God's goodness and love through one another. And that's been true of this trial. That's been the case throughout this trial. Beth's suffering has already grown God's kingdom and strengthened Christ's body. Walking with the Booths in our church family through this has been one of the greatest privileges of my life. It really has been a privilege. Now, it's also been one of the most painful things I've ever been a part of, undoubtedly. But it was a privilege every step of the way to walk with people of such faith, hope, and love. People who were clinging to Christ tenaciously every day. People who were saying yes to Jesus day after day. And I know many of you feel the same way about it. Jenny and I were able to meet with Breland and Beth many times along this journey. Often the four of us would get together. You know, we get together from time to time, and we would talk about how they were doing and the latest news on Beth's treatment. And we would pray together. But our conversations with the four of us, our conversations were really dominated by one thing. And that was by Beth's questions. Beth's questions always dominated our conversation. And that was a good thing. Beth had lots of questions, and they were great questions. Of course, mainly they were questions about heaven and the resurrection and the new creation, things like that, not surprisingly. She wanted to know what it would be like to be reunited with her mom and to see her daughter Camille, who preceded her in death. And to be honest, as tantalizing as her questions were, I really didn't have many answers. I know we pastors are supposed to be Bible answer men, but often we really don't have answers. But I can tell you this, she has answers now. She has answers to all her questions now. She has better answers than I or any other pastor on earth could give her. She has answers to her questions because her faith is now sight. In the Booth home, there is a sign that hangs on the wall that quotes Psalm 90, verse 14. We heard from Psalm 90 already this morning. Beth chose all the readings in the hymn. She was a planner. She had the whole service. Now, she did change it a few times, I'll tell you, so it kind of got a little confusing. But she had it all planned out exactly what she wanted, including that Heidelberg one, you know, that we almost passed over. She had it all chosen, all picked out, and that included Psalm 90. And there's this plaque on the wall at the Booth home that quotes from Psalm 90, verse 14. It reads this way. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. What is Psalm 90 about? Psalm 90 is about the brevity of life. No matter how long you live, life is short. And so therefore, we must have wisdom. Psalm 90 is really a prayer for wisdom, that we might be able to number our days aright, and that we might not take anything for granted, because each day is a gift. That's what Psalm 90 is really about. But verse 14 reminds us that however long or short our life on this earth is, our hope is in God's steadfast love. Only God's steadfast love can satisfy us. Only God himself can give us a joy that lasts. And really, Psalm 90, even though so much of the psalm is about death and how the shadow of death hangs over every one of our lives, ultimately there is triumph, there is joy. God will satisfy us with his love, and he will make the works of our hands to be established forever. That's the hope of Psalm 90. The hope of Psalm 90 is much like Psalm 30, verse 5. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. That's our hope. That was Beth's hope. That's our hope as well. Beth endured the pain. She now has the joy. She suffered with cancer for 9 years before the Lord took her home. But that cancer, as the Apostle Paul would put it, that cancer was a light and momentary affliction that prepared her for the eternal weight of glory that is now hers. As Breland said, she has now heard those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your inheritance." She endured the cross God assigned to her, and so she now has her crown. She has entered into glory. Let me bring this to a close this morning. I want to speak here to the family, especially to Breland, to Barrett, to Dilly, to Banks, to John Fearson. Sorry for not using your nicknames. Calling you by the names I know. I'm not calling you Bub no matter what. Really. And really it's for the rest of the Booth family, both sides. Again, you've been through so much. You have lost Beth, but you haven't lost God. God loves you. He loves each of you. Even in this, God has not forsaken you. And you should know, too, that all of us gathered here love each of you as well. And we want to be here for you as well. And while you've lost Beth for now, you haven't lost her for good. You haven't lost her forever. You will see her again in glory. She loves you even now. And she awaits you. She has joined that great cloud of witnesses. She fought the good fight. She ran her race. She won. And that's what you have to remember every day when that sting of grief comes into your life. Every day, as I know it will, you need to remember she won. The cancer didn't win. Death didn't win. Satan didn't win. Beth won. And why did Beth win? Because Jesus won. And because Beth kept saying yes to Jesus, and so she shares in his victory, she shares in his triumph. And so I would encourage you, who are hurting the most, even in your pain, keep saying yes to Jesus. It's hard, you're hurting, but Jesus is there for you. Keep saying yes to Jesus. And for all of us gathered here, know this. In a few short hours, our dear sister Beth will be buried in the ground, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Beth will be buried in the ground at a family graveyard. But someday, she will hear the final trumpet sound, and she will come forth from that very grave, and she will enter resurrection glory. And the same is true for all of us if we trust in Jesus. Resurrection glory awaits. Jesus said, "Because I live, you will live also." Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." That is our hope. Death is a defeated foe. Jesus has won the great victory. That's why the Apostle Paul can mock and taunt death. In that passage we read at the start of the service this morning from 1 Corinthians 15. This is why Paul can trash talk death there. "Oh death, where is your sting? Oh Hades, where is your victory?" Death is defeated. Satan is crushed. Sins are forgiven. Glory is promised. All of this is ours in the Lord Jesus Christ, King of kings, Lord of lords. Our Savior, the one who has overcome death for us, that is our hope. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.